Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. It's a Psalm of David, and it reads, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Amen. Let's pray. Gracious, eternal Father, grant us the joy, grant us the confidence that the psalmist here displays as we understand his confidence and the reasons for it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, like Jacob said, this is a psalm that is really, really triumphant. And what is interesting is that it gives a sense of triumph even in the face of fear. Now, when we have fear, when we experience fear, I don't think confidence and triumph are immediate reactions that we all of us have fears. But usually, the reaction to these fear would be despair, right? It would be discouragement. And all of us, regardless of who we are, have fears. From the child, who fears the dark, to the student who fears, exams, to the young adults, to parents, etc. Now, some fears are rational, and some fears are irrational. Many of us are plagued with irrational fears because our minds are allowed to run wild. Now, it is said of Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin was the Russian or Soviet dictator, and it was said of him that when he lived in this big mansion next to the Kremlin, He was really afraid at night. And this mansion had 8 bedrooms. On different nights, he would sleep in a different bedroom. I think Stalin means iron or fist, doesn't it? Right? He was a powerful man, but yet his life was overcome by fears. Now David was a man who also had great fears. But to conquer his fears, he erected a threefold defense. And this is what we want to take a look at this evening. Because all of us have fears, some rational, but also a lot irrational. What are lessons that we can learn from David? What is this threefold defense? And we see all of them in verse 1. It reads, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" So firstly, we see that the Lord is my light. And because he is my light, whom shall I fear? Now the question is, why should light be a defense against fear? Why would light be a defense against fear? Now we all know the expressions, right? Light at the end of the tunnel. There's a silver lining, you know, on every cloud. Then we also know that there's a glimmer of hope, right? So light, we see, is the opposite of fear, opposite of doubt, opposite of trouble. So when the Lord is my light, if we have that understanding, then when there is fear, there should also be joy. And in fact, in the Bible, the term light very frequently is used to denote joy or happiness. Now take a look at Psalm 97, verse 11. Psalm 97, verse 11, you see a parallel here of light and joy. It says, "Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart." Now, if you've studied Hebrew poetry, you know that there's, you know, such a term called parallelism, right? So here, you have a parallelism, and the second phrase basically reinforces the first phrase. Light is sown for the righteous, gladness for the upright in heart. So those who have light have also gladness. So light is an antidote for fear because it is able to give us hope. Right? You traverse down the tunnel. Right? You don't know where the end of it is, but you can see right there, there's a light. So it gives that hope. Now, light in Scripture, what does it refer to? Well, we all know that famous verse speaks about God's Word, right? Psalm 119, verse 105, right? We all know that it says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So it's the written Word of God. But it is also God's living Word. Christ is also described as the light. John 1:4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So in other words, very simply here we see that if we have this light, which is the promises of God's Word, which is Christ himself, there ought not to be a despair whenever fears come our way. There should be joy. Okay, so that's the first defense. That's the first defense. Now, secondly, another defense is the Lord is my salvation. The assurance that God saves is a great defense against fear. Now, I don't know, do they have that candy in this country, Lifesavers? Right? It's a little, you know, right? It symbolizes the lifesaver on a raft, right? Now, if you're out at sea, you fall off, you know, people cry man overboard, and they toss out a lifesaver, any fear of you drowning would significantly minimize if you have this lifesaver around you, right? And so we see here that the understanding that God is our salvation, ought to bring a great defense. Verse 3 says, it talks about the extent. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, this will I be confident. That's amazing, right? Now, sometimes I wonder, is David just being poetic, you know, when he writes the Psalms? Did he really believe in this? I mean, just think about yourself. You're a lone warrior, and around you a host is encamped, a host, a big army, right? And furthermore, if you think the wars should rise against me, you know, I will be confident. Now, you know, I suppose if it were me speaking, right, you probably think, you know, Mark is just quoting the Bible. You know, don't know whether he really believes in that. And I'll be honest and say, you know, when push comes to shove, if I were put in this position, I think I'd scream bloody murder and, you know, I'd be really afraid. I don't think I could be like David. But David was one who really believed what he said. Remember, you know, that the famous account when all of the Philistines were there and David just walked right up to them and shouted at them and said to them, I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, right? And he went to fight Goliath, you know, a little tiny boy, well, a teenager, but, you know, he understood that because God was his salvation, he didn't fear, right? Which is why some people think that this psalm may have been written after David's experience with the Philistines, with Goliath. Of course, we will never know. Now take a look also at Psalm 91, verse 5. Psalm 91 was not written by David. It was written by Moses, likely, okay? Psalm 91, verse 5. It says here, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth day. Now, it's not just limited to this verse, but if you take a look at the other verses surrounding this, it talks about, you know, the viper, the serpent, the dragon. It talks about the young lion. It talks about diseases. Right? So there is no fear. Because God is our salvation. And particularly, there's no fear. If you take a look at verse 9 of Psalm 91, it is because the psalmist has made God his refuge, has made God his habitation. Now, similarly, we read in Psalm 27, you see almost the exact words. Well, not exact, but you see in verse 5 of Psalm 27, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. Secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. All right, he shall set me up upon a rock. So the reason why David did not fear, Moses did not fear, and the people of Israel did not fear, or they should not have feared as they went through the wilderness, was because God was with them, right? When we know we belong to God and our salvation is secure, fears ought to affect us less. Now, it never says in the Bible that fears will never affect us, right? We are forgetful creatures, you know. David himself forgot, which is why often he had to remind himself. But when we are bolstered with a greater understanding of what God has done in our lives, then fear ought to affect us less. The famous verse is Matthew 10, 28. Jesus said concerning persecution, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now all of us profess Christ, we say we're Christians. Just take a look at our lives. And for me, myself as well, I can remember time, even though I was a Christian, and I knew that the Lord had saved me, but exam time, despair, deadlines coming, despair, right? An irrational fear comes to us because ultimately what we bank on Christ is less than what we bank on that exam we have to take, that deadline we have to make, right? Really the reason for fear. When faith wanes, fear increases, right? Now thirdly, we see that the third defense is that the Lord is the strength of my life. Now it is more literally translated as, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Now, stronghold is a place of refuge, of safety. And frequently this word was used in the Hebrew to refer to the presence of the Lord which followed the people through the wilderness. It was the presence of the Lord. And so because David knew that God was with him and was there to protect him, fear became less of an issue. I found this interesting illustration concerning fear and concerning the ever-presence of God. It is said that one particular Native American tribe practiced an initiation rite, and it was kept secret until the boy actually went through it. When he turned 13, he was supposed to spend a night in the dense forest, the dense jungle. And he would be taken blindfolded in the middle of the night into this jungle. Then others would leave, and he would then take off his blindfold, and he would have to survive the night. Now, at 13 years old, for them, what people would have termed savages, I'm sure a 13-year-old boy would have just been afraid, as any other boy. Any sound, any animal, it could have signified, predators. So in the morning, at the dawn, the break of dawn, what the boy would see, he could see the trees, the outlines of the flowers and the rocks. And then what he would also have found is that there was an outline of the figure of a man next to him or nearby. And as the sun rose, it became evident that it was the boy's father, armed with a bow and arrow, right? And the significance of that is, even though the boy had to go through the experience, the trial, the fear, his father was always there, right? So that is the understanding that even though we go through our fears, who's with us? God, right? God is with us. He's our stronghold. He's our refuge. We remember what 1 John 4, verse 4 says. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he in you than he that is in the world. But this is really a lifelong lesson. In the end, we all know that God is our strength. We all know that he's our salvation. We all know that he's our light. I suppose the more we remind ourselves of these things, the less our fears would be. We as Christians become paralyzed by fear, but when we remember the Word of God, right, it becomes our light in darkness. When we remember our salvation, nothing in the end becomes as bad as losing our souls, and of course that will never happen. And we need to remember that in every trial, God is there. A good illustration of how these three defenses are displayed is seen in the light on Chrysostom. You guys know who Chrysostom was? Right? Church history buffs? Well, Chrysostom was an early church father. He was the disciple of Polycarp. He was the disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of John the Apostle. So Chrysostom was someone who was very intimately connected with times of great persecution. And he existed also during the time where Christianity was about to be made legal, right? Official religion. Now, when he was the pastor in Constantinople, he had, of course, a godly zeal to reform the church there. And because of what he wanted to do or what he did, it greatly antagonized the Empress Eudoxia. And so what happened was, she had him, right? Then when he returned again, she was again angered by him, and so she sent him away again. So when asked how he could respond to such persecution with such calmness, Chrysostom responded, "What can I fear? Will it be death? But you know that Christ is my life, and that I shall gain by death. Will it be exile? But the earth and all its fullness are the Lord's. Poverty I do not fear. Riches I do not sigh for. And from death I do not shrink." You ask me, could I say this? I'd like to. Probably not. Not at this time. But this is, it takes faith. See that it is possible for every believer as we realize that Christ is our light, our salvation, and our strength. So you may look at your own lives. What brings you great fear? What is it that brings great fear? And ask yourself if Christ is sufficient to remove that fear. Let's pray. Eternal Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We proclaim him to be our all, our light, our salvation, our strength. But we do confess before you, Lord, that we are so far from what we ought to be, and fears still run rampant in our lives. And so we pray, Lord, that you would increase our faith, that you would draw us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, that our faith may truly be a real one. So do this work, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.